to our Allstate CEO today, who's in the business of making apps. He probably disagrees with this report that apps are dying, but it certainly is something that we will discuss. Patrick O'Brien is the CEO and founder of Lakeview Labs. He's also the CEO and founder of Ticket Scalper, so he's been around the block a little bit. And Patrick, welcome this morning into the opening bell. Let me ask you first, what is that drives you? What gets you going? What building these apps is not an easy thing, so what gets you to work every morning?
I've been doing apps for the last almost 5 years now, and you know, the App Store has really only been around for maybe seven, at least where people are, like, where apps actually matter. Each day, you know, these phones are getting upgraded. There's better features on them. Some people say that mobile's dead or apps are dead, but I mean, really, we're just getting going. And you know, right now, it's kind of like the PCs in the 90s, right? So, you know, they were pretty basic, and now you can do almost everything. Like, and in terms of mobile, you know, there's going to be crazy things with augmented reality, like you can see with Pokemon Go, which is really tearing it up. So things are really they're just starting. They're just getting going.
Do you have all of these ideas in your head? Do they pop in at certain moments? Do you, you know, have a dream about them and then wake up and kind of think, oh, that's a great idea? How does that process work for you?
It's pretty much a nonstop thing where, you know, I'm walking around and, you know, there's like the major players. So, like, let's say Uber, right? You know, there can be an Uber for almost everything. And my first step, we were Uber for ticket scalping. So we were one of the first, like, Uber for X's. And, you know, now when, you know, it can really be anything, right? It could be like Uber for lawn mowing, Uber for snowplow when it's pretty deep in February and here in Chicago. So, yeah, I mean, it's a nonstop process, but it's just a matter of time and, you know, what we think we can do the best at with our skill set and also building for other people too.
You mentioned it, so I'll talk about it. Pokemon Go seems to be the huge craze. Is that what we're facing? Is that the future? Is everybody looking at their phones? Because I don't know about you, but I see everybody walking around, you know, staring at their phones, walking into people. Is that what we're going to see, or do you see something better with mobile apps?
So that's the first step. A mobile phone and, like, I guess apps in general, you know, it's really not going to be so much of just a phone that is, because the device, you know, it can, I mean, you saw, like, 4 years ago with Google Glass, that was kind of failed, but it was also a good first taste. So, you know, what we'll eventually see is, you know, the same thing with Pokemon Go, but, you know, you're wearing some type of sunglasses or something like that, that is, you know, it's just an overlay over the world. So you're not looking at your screen, but it's literally everything around you. So, you know, there's about four or five major startups that have gotten, like, almost billions in funding. And everyone says that technology is the greatest stuff they've ever seen, but they haven't even shown it yet.
Do you prefer one over the other? Because I know there's always the Android versus iOS crowd. Do you favor one of these apps over the other, one of these devices over another?
I'm definitely Apple. I still remember I got, or my mom, she's a teacher, a CPS teacher, and we were able to get, I think it was like the first Macintosh. I mean, this is like 91. And I was just completely amazed by it. So that was probably my first thing with technology. And then, you know, PCs and Windows took over for a bit. But for phones, I mean, it's just my preference. But I really prefer Apple and just iOS because, you know, it's simple. Whereas Android, yes, you can customize, you can do anything you want with it, but because there's just one solid base, it just keeps things, like, it's, I guess it's a form over function. I don't know if that really would make sense, but it's just because of how consistent Apple is with their design, with everything, that allows, I guess, a developer or companies just build off that a lot easier than Android.
iOS 10 is beta. I think beta 4 is out. People are looking at that, giving it the once over. Apple has also been sort of at the forefront of privacy with this encryption battle with the FBI. Are those things key to you? I mean, not only as a developer, but as a user?
thing with encryption and just like your privacy and everything, I mean, every time you log into an app, you know, it's like, you know, most people have Gmail, right? Which is the mail product from Google. And, you know, every single email you send, every chat you send, you know, it could be on Google, it can be on Facebook, it can be on whatever, even though Apple, you know, had that thing with the FBI where, you know, they wouldn't get over the encryption. You know, since you're still using these other platforms, your data, your everything is still being shared with these companies. And really all they're doing with it is just doing like micro, macro moves where, you know, they're taking your data and they're basing ads off of it. So, you know, if you talk about, let's say, the Chicago Cubs a lot in your chats and your posts and your whatever, then they're going to show you Cubs ads over others. So for me, it's one of those things where I know they're going to get it no matter what. So yes, everything that, you know, they can do with encryption helps, but it's not something I really concern myself about too much.
So give us a sense about what you do on a daily basis. So say I'm a startup and I come to you with an idea. I have the idea, you come up with the technical. Is that how it works? Or do people come to you with ideas and you help, or is it a combination of both?
So what we like to say a lot is that we take napkin ideas to a full functioning product. And for a lot of our apps, so, you know, we started this system called 16 and 16, and next year will be 17 and 17. But what it is that each year we're trying to make, 16 profitable or high growth companies. So, you know, what I guess the exact steps are is just that someone comes, they're like, hey, I want to do this, you know, Uber for X type idea. And for a lot of these cases, I've made personally about 25 apps over the last 3 years. Everything from the most viral to most innovative to most profitable in the App Store for education. So we have a pretty firm grasp upon, I guess, what those exact steps are. But, you know, what they are is a person comes to us with an idea. It's just like a scribble on a notepad, which is totally fine.
I mean, or literally a napkin.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen napkin, I've seen paper towel, because like we were at their office and they just grab whatever was closest. But you know, the first thing we start with is design, and that's because people buy with their eyes. So we try to get a prototype out where they can share with friends, family, colleagues, whatever. And we make it a clickable prototype. So it's pretty much the exact way that the app would function, but, you know, instead of it being real data, it's just, you know, them pressing buttons, and it's like pre-filled with tomjohnson@gmail.com and, you know, all that really generic stuff. But after that, then, you know, once they, I guess, are set with the design and it's a little bit proven, so we try to get some customers, maybe, let's say it's an Uber for lawn care, right? So we would try to test it with some people maybe in the lawn care industry, or also just consumers that would be buying that, have them test it, just get any feedback, go through another small design iteration. And then I always like to do the mom test as well. So I give the app to my mom, and if my mom can figure it out, and she's tech savvy enough, but she's still a mom. So if she can figure it out, then I know we're on a good path.
This is a great time for you to brag. So if you could, tell us some of the apps that you've helped create.
Sure. So a lot of them are utility apps that I guess some like normal consumers wouldn't really, I guess, come across. But for the bigger ones, I was on an early team for Groupon. So I helped with the creation of Groupon Now. And at the time, that was pretty cutting edge because, I mean, this is 2011. So what the app was that, let's say you're walking down a street, like you're walking down LaSalle or Michigan, I mean, literally whatever street, and these small businesses could send out a push message to you, and it would be like, you know, $3 off, $10 off, whatever. And what they were trying to do was just get people in during their slower times. So that was my first app that I really worked on. Another one was my personal app called Ticket Scalper, which was Uber for ticket scalping, which got pretty big in Chicago. This was like 2013. We worked on another app called NCLEXRN, And that's a, it's pretty simple, but they completely dominate. And it's a study prep app for nurses. So, you know, like lawyers that all have to pass the bar, every nurse, and that's like an undergrad 4-year nurse, they have to pass a test called the NCLEX. And, you know, this company was started by dentists, actually. And they just noticed that no one was making this app for nurses to pass this this test. And, you know, what they did was they made the best app, or they want to make the best app in the world. So, you know, I came in with my team and, you know, we helped them go on Android. That was a big first for them. But also, I mean, there's a whole ton of stuff. But, you know, it's the most profitable app in the App Store for education. Then I worked on another app called Down, which was a dating app, just kind of think like a Tinder. And more recently, we launched two apps. One's called Little Nugget. So that is a top 15 app for photos and video. And that's a Instagram for baby pictures. So let's say that, you know, you just have a baby, or you're a grandma, mom, whatever. You can take a picture of your baby, and then you can add these overlays on top of it. So they're like icons and stickers and all this stuff to just make your baby pictures, like, I guess, cuter is the best way to put it. And then you can share it with your audience, not your audience, but your friends, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter, on whatever. And then you can also get products made off of it. So, like, you can make an iPhone case off of it and all this other cool stuff. So that's been going very well. That's been out for about 2 months now. And then last week we launched an app called Ezome, just think like Easy Home, which is a app for home sellers. So just another napkin idea entrepreneur, let's say. He has a 9-to-5, but he just had this burning passion. And, you know, he sold his house about, I think it was like 3 years ago. And he had no idea what the process was like. And it's not that he got burned, but, you know, he definitely just wished he knew more about it. So, you know, it's a simple app, but all it is just free content. So it walks you through. We have but the structure is there's 7 lessons, and then there's a few chapters in each lesson. And, you know, it's all about, like, should you work with a real estate agent? Should you do for sale by owner? Here's what the mortgage process is like. Here's what, here's how to stage your home better. So how to make it look better if you're about to sell it. It's pretty much every single thing that someone that, you know, even if they are an expert or, beginner, first time home seller, they'll definitely learn something from that. So we have some other really cool stuff that we're working on, but it's not live just yet.
What is on your phone? What are your favorite apps?
I have about 120 apps on my phone. So
120, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I use Uber daily. I used it this morning. Here, let me just pull it up.
What would you say is like something that's hot that's coming up that nobody knows about yet? Obviously, you just mentioned a couple that you've done, but what would you obviously, Uber's a good one. I'm trying to think what I saw the other day. Something good about we just had on one of our other CEO spotlights, FIGO Insurance, the pet insurance company. They're going to launch a new app where you have basically your vault of pet information. That one's going to be cool coming out. But there has to be something cool out there that nobody knows about yet, except you.
Man, I'm actually a little bit of a late adopter for apps. I kind of let a lot of them just kind of filter out. And, you know, this is... It's not a small startup by any means, but the Google Photos app, I just stumbled across this, and you know, I have probably like 3,000 pictures on my phone, and this backs up every single photo, you know, to like to their web service. And yes, that completely goes against everything with privacy, which I was talking about earlier. But that's really surprised me, because, you know, that cleared up a lot of space on my phone. And that's a constant battle that I guess people have. It's just like, how many apps should I have on my phone? Because I have a very limited amount.
And it's funny you mentioned Google Photos, because I have that one too. They've the way that they organize and use metadata, and it seems the most comprehensive and best of all of them.
Yeah, that's
what I like about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy. I mean, you're just saying, yes, I would like to back up all my photos, and then as long as you just let it run, it just does it.
Do you? I didn't mean to interrupt, but do you get upset that you have like 15 updates every morning, or in your case, 120 updates every morning?
Not really. I just have it, I guess, download over Wi-Fi. So every time that an update comes out, it comes up. It's an automatic download, so it really doesn't bother me. But before, you know how at least for iPhones, there's the little red thing that shows how many updates you have, and like if you would like it. Yeah, I mean, it used to be like I was just constantly tapping yes to these updates, but not really. Snapchat, though, I mean, yes, a lot of people know about Snapchat, but they've been doing a lot of cool stuff with this other app called Bitmoji, which is like, it's an app where you can send, well, first, like, you make an avatar of yourself. So you, I mean, it's based on your face. It's based on, like, the clothes you wear and all this stuff. And then they have, like, I guess, like, 200 messages. So it's, like, the next step over, like, a classic emoji, which is, like, a smiley face. And it's, like, you, but you doing all this either funny or stupid stuff. So Snapchat just acquired that company, and I've used it for a while. And it's one of those things where it's very viral, where, like, if you're in a group chat and all of a sudden this, this person sends a Bitmoji of themselves, like doing something, like people just start asking. And they were just acquired by Snapchat, so now that's blown up too.
I won't ask you how to do Snapchat because I've tried and I just don't get it, so I don't go back to it. Let me ask you this question. You're in the Chicago space. What are your views on Chicago in terms of innovation, startup, and getting all these things going? Is this a good place to be?
It can be for the right startup. So Chicago is very transactional in terms of their startup. So what I mean by that is that, you know, if you look at, you know, let's say like, you know, San Francisco and Silicon Valley, those types of startups are the, you know, the absolute grand slam, unicorn, home run, whatever, you know, phrase you want to call them. Whereas Chicago, and, you know, you can see this by the companies that are getting funded and also just all the successes. You know, they have some type of business model that is repeatable and transactional. So, you know, if an investor, throws money at them, then they can just say, you know, okay, right now, like this day, X plus Y equals Z, right? But if I throw in, you know, $1 million, then everything will be 10X that. So, you know, you can see that with Groupon. You can see that with Grubhub. You can see that with Career Builder. What are some other big successes? I mean, Trunk Club. I mean, it's a lot of e-commerce, but it's just something that can be repeatable. It's kind of a weird thing to say. Part of the reason I think it's that is just from the, Chicago's, the Board of Trade. It's just like how people think about how companies should run and, just this repeatable method versus this, okay, we're going to make this app where people can just start sending tweets, right? Like that would never, ever happen in Chicago. And it would never happen because those companies need a huge amount of money to just not only like, you know, hire people and all that, but just to let it see out its vision and eventually bring ads or bring whatever into the equation.
Not every idea is a good one. How do you tell somebody who comes to you that they have a stinky idea? Or do you have somebody else do that for you?
No, I'll just do it. It's really just how quickly they can compete, right? So, if someone's trying to do like an e-commerce app and, you know, they're trying to, you know, become like the next eBay, right? But they have a budget of $10,000. Just they're like how realistic they are with how much money they need. That plays into it, but it's not so much that like that's just a major issue that I just kind of walk them through. I'm like, look, like if you want to see this happen, and like it's not going to be $10,000, it's going to be $1 million. For that reason, it's not a good idea. But the bigger thing is like you see all these clones and copycats of much bigger things. So, you know, the Uber for X type app can work, but I don't know why there's like 10 startups that do a like mail. They mail you like a grocery list, or like they send you like a prepackaged set of food. And you know, I've noticed, I think there's like 5 in just Chicago, and there's a bunch of other huge ones that, you know, have a ton of funding. But, you know, with these ones in Chicago, I mean, like, yes, you know, you can hustle your way into, you know, making it a good company. You can hire a bunch of college kids to, you know, hand deliver this food and stuff and, you know, make it cheaper. But it's not scalable because, you know, things like food or things like that, you know, they expire pretty quick. So once again, you come into this money issue of like, okay, you know, yes, it might be an okay idea, but, you know, 3 months down the road when you truly want to scale, is it possible? And if, you know, in Chicago, it is pretty hard to get funding, even though some people say it's not. But I mean, I know a ton of really good startups that, unfortunately, they just won't have enough runway. They'll either run out of their personal funds or just whatever it is, and they should make a pivot. So it's just a slight alteration in their business model, but they can't because they don't have enough runway. So, yeah, I mean, for bad ideas, it's just like, it's not so much that it's like a straight up bad idea. I mean, yeah, I'll just tell someone that's an awful idea, but it's more of just like, you know, 3, 6, 1 year from now, if you don't get, you know, this huge amount of funding, can you actually keep the lights on? And it would, you know, it'd be awful to spend all that money, all that time, quit your job, do whatever, to make a decent startup that won't allow you to, I guess, see your entire vision with it.
Do you watch the show Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
Laugh at it?
I think it's hilarious. It's completely spot on for so many things. I mean, I read that they had to actually dial back some of the things, but like there was this Earl Bachman, the CEO of the incubator, he, like, during the first season, you know, they made this quote, like, he was a owner of Grindr, and once they like really added it up, like, first they were going to say like he owned like 20%, but if they really added that up, he'd be like worth like $50 million. So, you know, these valuations and stuff are just so insane. But when they actually like break it down, like the weird parties they go to and how the developers function and stuff, I mean, it's so spot on. At least my experiences when I was out there, I was never, I guess, like on the Facebook or Google campus. So, you know, I didn't see exactly like that, but just like how the entrepreneurs think, how the VCs think, you know, how quickly these companies just blow up and then all of a sudden, you know, or nothing like days later, it's spot on.
The Bachman character, he actually was the MC at the Crunchies, and didn't really go over so well when he did that. You know, he's making fun of you, right?
Yeah. I mean, that, whatever. I mean, he's just making a parody of like himself. And, it's kind of weird when like actors, keep staying in character, mm-hmm. Because it just, like, it sometimes doesn't come across the same, right? But, I mean, I don't really have any problem with it. And things in Silicon Valley versus Chicago, like the tech scene, are completely different. There's just, it's, like, here, almost everyone is just business-focused, and, like, tech is second. So like, I kind of, back to my transactional thing I was talking about earlier, you know, with Groupon, like that's really a sales company, and or Grubhub, like those are sales companies that just need a bit of tech, versus, you know, like a Google, a Facebook, those are straight up tech companies. You know, yeah.
Patrick O'Brien, a CEO and founder of Lakeview Labs in Chicago. You can find it at lakeviewlabs.io, on Twitter @LakeviewLabs.